Hello and welcome to Big Trouble in Little Podcast, a show where there is themes of movies and they have a gimmick of ranking at the end of the month. Today's movie is Man on Fire, starring Denzel Washington. Enjoy.
Hello, it's 10:10 p.m. Eastern Time on February 27, 2024, episode 275 of Big Trouble Little Podcast. I'm Joe Dubs.
I'm Andy.
I'm Chaz.
I'm Zach.
He's God. He feels like God.
I feel like God.
Dubs, one day I want you to do that same intro, and then right as soon as you say it, before you say your name, ask where their children are. That's old live news.
You know where your children are.
Where are
you? You know how many chemicals are in your house.
It's 10:10 p.m. Eastern Time. Yeah. Do you know where your children are? Anyway, we're still doing Denzel Washington month from Chaz's theme here. It's going to be April? No, March? Yeah, I think March. Yeah, whatever. Anyway, we are doing Man on Fire. This is the first time I'm seeing a movie. I think Andy's the first time seeing this movie, correct? No?
Wrong. Incorrect.
Zach.
It is the first for me, yes.
Okay.
Okay. So now Andy and I have watched it before. Now, something curious. So this is a remake of a movie from the 80s.
Oh, really? I thought it was based on a book.
It is.
Maybe it's both.
Yeah, it's both. You know, it's really funny by the end of it with how they do things. I've just come to the realization as I've watched so many Denzel Washington movies. Actually, that reminds me of another thing I need to add to my What Did I Do list. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm just going to assume that everything Denzel Washington has ever done is loosely based on a true story that has just been fabricated to shit.
Oh, I want to watch the old one. It's got Joe Pesci, Jonathan Pryce, Scott Glenn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is it good? Have you seen it?
I haven't. No, I want to watch it now. I realized it after. I was like, I want to watch this. So I've got some homework.
It has the guy from Dumb and Dumber in it. Like, you want to hear an annoying sound? Sorry.
That's okay. That's what you took from it. I love that. It's like all the other people in it. Like, hey, that guy. There's a thing in the movie.
Yep. Oh, man. Because you guys made comments last week where, like, it gets bad, then good, then bad, then good. Like, was it because of the setting or how the movie is?
Well, the setting's fine. I mean, the story's fine. It's the editing. I can't stand. Oh, okay. I know it's supposed to be like, oh, the world's turned upside down. His sense of morality is clouded. He's drunk. And the editing is moving around and stuff.
He beat me to it. It's so jarring. I fucking hate it.
I absolutely hate it. It sucks because it's blurring what is otherwise a pretty fun movie that I like very much. But man, that editing can just suck my dick.
Yeah. Well, and I had the luxury of watching it while recovering from a gastro bug. So, yeah, I was already like at the point where if I move too quickly, I'm nauseous. So watching that, I actually made me sick. Like, I can actually say I physically got sick watching it and had to pause a couple times through because of how it would move so much. I'm like, fuck, I gotta watch this movie.
Oh my God, it's their director from Top Gun. Like, what?
Yeah, Tony Scott, Ridley Scott's brother.
One of the Scots. Scott Free.
Not the great Scott.
Yeah, I do agree with you guys. Like, the editing and stuff, like the whole like blurry vision type of thing going on, it was annoying. Like, it took away from the story, I think.
If it did it just a little bit, that would be fine, but it does it a lot. Like, he's just like driving around Mexico City and it does it. Why?
Yeah. And I would, at one point, I've read something about this too, because I shouldn't have done this for reading through this movie. I made that classic Andy mistake. But someone tried to defend the fact that the director is trying to make the viewer feel as jarred as the person, like basically trying to put you in Creasy's shoes to feel offbeat, I guess. And then there's a subtle change allegedly when he starts to befriend Dakota Fanning's character, the little girl, and things get clear, like he has some clarity, and then everything gets rocked again, and then it goes right back to doing all of that. And then at the end of the movie, when there's like relief, it doesn't do it again. I was like, that's a stretch, because it also does it a ton at the beginning before you've even met Creasy.
Yeah.
And it just, even if there is a point to it, it's too much.
Did they ever talk about what Christopher Walken and Denzel Washington did? Kept on saying, "Will God forgive us what we've done?"
It's implied that they were part of the CIA's special activities, something
counterterrorism task force. So
yeah, the one guy's like reading his resume, and he says, "Oh, counterterrorism in Lebanon."
They literally call him an assassin. Like they just call him a top assassin for the U.S. So just I just took it like, oh, he's James Bond. He was James Bond, but dirty American James Bond.
Probably Jason Bourne more than James Bond.
But then again, you know, the bean didn't kick in when certain keywords were said, so and he doesn't have terrible amnesia. Like Jason Bourne's thing is he has all this amnesia, and then he's like, why can't I hack ATMs? But really, they like give enough clue that he did a lot of killing. Basically, he is a professional killer. Which actually is really funny too, because he keeps being told by everybody else, "I'm just a professional," and he has that quote. Like everybody keeps saying that to me. I really don't like it when people say that.
Yeah, that's when he had the bomb butt, the butt bomb.
That's one of the most memorable moments of the movie. That's what I think. Yeah. When I think about this movie.
I feel like one of the things too, which I don't know how much this is from. That's why I want to watch the older one, or I'd have never read like any of the material other than it's based on, but I would wonder if I always thought it'd be funny if when he did the trade-off, like he like deliberately requested that guy be there, and then he bomb butt himself and blew everyone up.
Whoa.
But it didn't happen.
Yeah, I didn't even notice that Mickey Rourke was in this movie. Like I had like
barely in it. Yeah.
I was like, that Mickey Rourke? I can't tell. He looks kind of different. What's going on here? And then I looked on IMDb. It's Mickey Rourke. Holy shit. Yeah.
I remember at the beginning of the movie seeing, because I've seen this movie, but it has been a while, admittedly. But I saw his name at the beginning, and then I was looking for him, and yeah. I didn't see him. And then I remember IMDb bringing it up. I'm like, oh, yeah, he was in this movie. Wait, that was him? I was like, oh, but they, you know, again, just the look just is so different. And maybe for me, too, like, when I see Mickey Rourke, I think of Sin City, the wrestler in yeah. Iron Man 2.
He didn't look disheveled enough. That's why we didn't spot him.
Yeah, he didn't look homeless enough. Exactly. He has to look homeless. Like, give him a trench coat. Yep. Long or short hair doesn't matter. Just make him look like he's not taking care of himself. And, yeah, we'll notice him. But yeah, I like that you said the thing about. Now I want to know, because of course you know this movie has one of the things that some people is divisive in that it also as a story takes you on quite a ride, for better or for worse. Like you get jerked around a lot in the story. But that said, you made the comment about Mark Anthony. Had the twist already happened yet?
No, the thing that here's another bad thing that I like not hate about the movie, but they kind of like show their hand like really soon. Like when Mickey Rourke's character and Mark Anthony are talking about like bodyguards and they're like, oh, you know, it doesn't really matter what the cost is. And then all of a sudden when Mickey Rourke, the child gets taken, Mickey Rourke is like, we don't need no police. And I'm like, yeah, this is a red flag. Two red flags are happening right now. He has something to do with it. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't like a big it wasn't like a jaw dropping. I'm like, I knew it. It's like I knew this was gonna happen.
Well, I mean, eventually you just get to the point where you realize everyone involved is corrupt.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, the only person in the movie that's innocent from any of that is the mother.
Yeah, they kind of try to throw a curveball a little bit where, like, Denzel, like, he's like, I have to ask some questions to your wife. And, like, he, like, interrogates her. And then he, like, turns it back to Mark Anthony. And
they figured it out. At that point, like, they didn't explicitly say it. But at that point, if you're paying enough attention, you've already figured out what had happened because of the bank record stuff they revealed in the scene before. Mm. But the movie kind of moves at a pace where it's very easy as a viewer to not immediately know, oh, this is what happens. Going back on another viewing of it, like, it's a little easier to catch it. And I mean, again, you already know too, but it's very obvious to see, oh, he already knew this. That's why he comes in so angry, because he's only interrogating to make sure that she's not involved. He already knows what happened. And the other thing too, like the whole plot with the girl being dead and then not, because they just assume the worst because of the situation, but they never explicitly have a way to prove that she's dead. Again, that also is kind of tricky. I wouldn't say they show their hand on it. I mean, they have to kind of do something like that. They can't show a body and then undo that. They can't unalive and then un-unalive, right? they have to kind of just assume the worst based on the situation.
Just to Mark Anthony, like, everything about him seemed shady. Like, even when the daughter comes in, he's like, I don't want to do piano. I want to do swimming. And he's like, no, you got to do this. And, like, the whole setup of, like, Denzel being there, he's being all lax and stuff, and he's looking at the window, and they just the camera cues. You're just like, oh, this is a setup. The father wanted her to be there for the kidnapping.
Oh, I mean, yeah. And I mean, again, looking back after it, I think it's easy. I think watching this first time, I don't think it's as obvious. I think it's very key to be able to put pieces together after the fact and go, oh, okay, that makes a lot of sense. Also, Mark Anthony is someone who, just in general, just very weaselly in anything he's in, all of his limited time in Hollywood. I mean, his career break was singing songs to fuck other men's wives. So I don't know what anybody thought when he was going to play characters. Like, you should be a clown. No, I'm just going to be smarmy. It is what he is.
He got to fuck J-Lo, I guess.
Yeah, that was a movie.
I love that awkward silence. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, yeah, that was a movie. I think
I forgot who this guy even was. Like, literally, like, I watched this movie. He's like Mark Anthony. He's like, I don't fucking remember him at all.
What, the Roman?
Yeah, like, the late 90s, early 2000s, right? Yeah. I'm not.
You guys reminded me after you talked about him a little bit. So, oh, that is who that is. But mm-hmm. I didn't remember at the time.
Yeah, he had like a short run in Hollywood, and it was just like, he's an okay actor, not great, but okay. He's doable.
I mean, he can play one very specific character. He can play a smooth, somewhat charismatic, but smarmy weasel. He's in my wife's words, he is the Latino version of Matt Damon. But of course, as we talked about,
she loves that guy.
Yeah, yeah, she absolutely loves him.
Los Damon.
Matt Damon is a weasel in everything he does. It's just the Boston in him, but.
Anything with Christopher Walken, by the way, is amazing. He seems so out of place in this movie. I don't know why, though.
I kind of like it. I like when Christopher Walken doesn't have to hold up too much of the movie. I think when he's like laid back, he's at his best, if that makes any sense.
I would agree. When they're not leaning on him for the weight of the movie, he is better.
Yeah, like I see him in something like King of New York, where he's the lead and he's doing a lot of extra work, and you can kind of see the cracks in his, like, he's a huge talent. I don't want to Christopher Walken sucks. That's not what I'm trying to say, but like when he's doing everything, you can kind of see the cracks in his ability, perhaps. But in something like this, where he just kind of seems more laid back and natural, and he just seems to slip right into that role. I think he does a really good job.
I thought so. I think one piece of it, like most of the movie, he's again just this guy that's like, oh, I've retired, I've moved on, I have a family. The scene when Creasy is about to kill himself and he calls him, free panicking because the bullet does, you know, misfires and he fails to kill himself, and he calls him. It's subtle, but Walken's acting is really good in that, of just like being kind of subtle and trying to calm that person down without like overdoing it. I don't know what was a way to say it, but just like trying to flip the script of, oh, are you okay? And then, oh no, you didn't wake me up. I was just watching TV.
See, a man is an artist. He can be an artist in food. Creasy, his art is death.
I think that's one other thing with Walken too. Walken just like has so many iconic roles that he's had where he has been like typecast to have that type of thing. But this movie, there's not as much of that. Like, it's a good thing, right? I'm trying to find a way to say what Andy did without it coming off negative. I think it's not so much that it shows cracks. I think it's more that when he is not the centerpiece in a movie constantly and having to hold everything up, then I think he is at his best. I just think he fits more naturally into the movie, and it's more enjoyable that way. You get the best out of him as an actor that way.
He can like overshadow the whole production because of who he is. It's just like, oh, that's Christopher Walken. This is a Christopher Walken movie. Okay. Yeah. And that's what happens.
It's like
that's
a good way to put it. He alters the tone just by being the lead guy.
Yeah. It's a good supporting cast member. I mean, he's in the show Severance. He's not a main character, but he's like known in there, and he's still just wonderful. Because he's Christopher Walken.
Like, he's been in real serious movies before too, where he's like, he's got a lot of screen time, but he's not really like the main character either. Like, I guess Deer Hunter, other stuff. And Batman Returns kind of like rides that line a little bit, where he's in it
and Click
enough to where it's like almost like this almost getting to be like a little bit of a joke, but it kind of serves that movie for him to be like that in that movie.
Oh, well, that character. Yeah. I mean, that character was practically written for Christopher Walken.
Yeah. That movie. And also his role in Pulp Fiction. Like, it just kind of shows like when he's in a scene, that's a Christopher Walken scene. Like he colors that whole scene. Christopher Walken colored.
Mm-hmm. Your father shoved the watch up his ass.
Like, he's playing it up in Pulp Fiction, obviously, but I think that's the most extreme version of what we're trying to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is, really.
Well, one of the Stephen King adaptations, The Dead Zone, like, that's one movie where you watch and you're just like, that's silly. just his acting in there. Because he kind of does like a Michael Keaton, you want to get nuts, but he's like, the ice breaks, and he like breaks a fucking vase next to him.
So I'm gonna have to see that.
Yeah, it's a fun film just because of Christopher Walken, but it's shitty.
All right. It's bad because it's not supposed to be fun. But yeah, let's go. I think Andy was ready to corral us. Let's move.
Let's take Christopher Walken's dick out of our mouths and we'll talk. Look. He did a good job. I think Denzel Washington does a good job. It's not his best job, but he does a good job in this movie. But some of the acting in this movie fucking sucked. I hated the mother. I thought she was an awful actress.
Rhonda Mitchell. She was the mother in the Silent Hill movie.
Oh yeah.
She did look familiar. Holy fuck.
She seems so unnatural. She's like, get out of my fucking house. And she sounds uncomfortable saying the F word. And it's just like, I hated her so much. She was like, you better kill him or I will. It's like, shut up. sounds bad. It doesn't sound committed. It sounds like someone reading lines. She's pretty, but that's all she's got. I don't know.
Did you notice like she had an accent that kept slipping in and out?
Yeah, it's like she wanted to have an American accent, but then she didn't.
It was like she would randomly have like a Southern accent and then it would come and go.
I didn't know if that was supposed to be like she's been hiding it and she's like comfortable with him, so it's slipping in.
I'm not gonna lie, when I heard it this time, I just thought I was sick and I was hallucinating that a little bit. No, I didn't realize
she
that
does it two or three times.
I just heard it, dude. I was like, she just threw a little hick twang on that.
Hey, American.
like, I guess it's supposed to be like a Texas accent, possibly, but like, at first I didn't really catch it. I was like, did I just mishear? Eh, maybe I didn't. And then she's like, not really in the movie enough. And then she comes back and then it's like, no, her accent's slipping.
Yeah, I didn't.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, she's the worst one in the whole movie. I kind of thought Mark Antony sucked a little bit too, but he was
limited better. Role. But I agree, his role was.
What about Dakota Fanning?
I hate to say it, she's Dakota good. Fanning was actually really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but like really obnoxious. But like, what little girl isn't horrendously obnoxious? And I was like, oh my god, she's a great actress.
She's like playing Matilda without the superpowers.
Yeah. I think she was great
when
in this
she's
movie.
Screaming his name and stuff, and it's like, oh, ow, stop this.
Yeah,
that's what little girls do. They scream.
I know. That's what I mean. Like, that's why I was like, oh, she's great. She's perfect. But yeah, god damn it.
She was precocious. That's more she was precocious.
Children, so
honestly, Christopher Walken was great. Denzel Washington was good. I thought the cop, the guy who used to be at Interpol, his name's in front of me. I still can't say it. Giancarlo, he was awesome. I needed more of him.
Yeah. I thought he was really good, and the
news reporter. She was really good. Like, I was like, where's this movie? I want the other half of this movie that is them doing stuff.
Yeah, she sucked dick to get, like, information. That was
clearly
crazy.
I mean, yeah, they sleep together. It's like, what the hear? This is a movie. That's there's your romance, I guess.
It's like, we don't sleep, we fuck.
I got the impression, like, it's based on a book, and I'll bet you in the book all that stuff happens a lot more. Because after Creasy dies, it shows that they catch the voice, and he's the one who shoots him. I couldn't help but be like, well, show me that. Like, show me all that, everything leading up to
but
that. That's the movie
but it
I wasn't see.
About him. Yeah. Which, again, it's like, okay, if they're going to do that, that's fine. It would have been better to actually have, like, that scene where they run up and, like, you get to see that satisfaction. Again, I also like the butt plug bomb kill. I just think that's so funny. Like, not only does he use it as a tactic, but he shows that he has a spare one when he has all the tools there. It just seems like a really good way. They could have went the full Ant-Man Thanos, but you know what? Years in the future, it's kind of hard to.
Yeah, I just know, right? Like all the cartel members or whatever ring they're part of. They're just like, do you know who I work for? El Hermandad or something like that. I'm the president. And he's like, really? I don't give a shit. And he, like, it doesn't faze him at all. Like the. You know, cartel and stuff, because you're fucking with an actual assassin who doesn't give a shit.
No, he's like a CIA spooky guy. He murders people. Like that's what the CIA does. They topple governments and get information.
And if they successfully killed him, they'd probably be doing him a favor.
Yeah, I thought the name Hermandad was a little basic. It's literally just Brotherhood. It's just literally Brotherhood. Yeah. Like, Brotherhood. They're in a Brotherhood called Hermanadad. You mean they're in a Brotherhood called the Brotherhood? Oh, no shit.
It's like, you know, when you say the club is the club.
Yeah. Discoteca.
It's, yeah. And when I said in Facebook Messenger, like, revenge, I'm a sucker for revenge movies. Like, yeah, like when the killing starts happening, I'm like, hell yeah, fuck
that's,
yeah.
That's the appeal of this movie. It's a revenge movie. It's like, oh, this is bad butt, dude. I'm fucking love this shit. Oh, it's so cool. I mean, it's Death Wish. It's all the reasons people like Death Wish.
Yeah. Yes.
Death Wish, Taken, this.
Too many Takens. Too many Takens. It should just been one.
Yeah,
it should have been called Take. The second one should have been called Taken Again.
Taken Again. Taken Again.
Not Taken Two. Taken Again.
Well, in contrast to like these types of movies, that's why when we watched Death Sentence earlier, if you recall, like one of the things I found interesting about that movie was it was that same premise, but it's not a person that happened to have all that training and stuff and was like, oh, I'm gonna go ape shit on them. It was just a regular guy that was like, they can't get away with this, and then they try to do it and they fail miserably. It was Kevin Bacon. Bacon. But there is some appeal. I almost don't like that the girl lives. I more that they would just let her be dead.
I wonder if that wasn't a Hollywood thing. Like, oh, you can't. The girl can't be dead at the end.
I wondered if in the original movie or in the book for that matter, if that's how it would be. Like I just wondered, because the other thing too is like the guy brings up how, oh, why would I kill her? She's no good to me dead. But that doesn't make sense because he's, what are you going to leverage? Like, you have no leverage anymore. Like that, like the person that was originally trying to make this and like had a set up anyway, well, killed himself. Like, no one's going to re-barter for all this. I'm surprised the mother's still alive at that point. You'd think if she were a better mother, she would have killed herself too. But she's a shitty mom, so she decided she liked herself too much to continue going, and she did that, so.
That movie would have got trashed even more critically if they went that route, because that's the thing is, like, I was reading about how everybody received it, and everybody was like, really did not think highly of this movie, and their main like bone of contention with it is it's really dark, and they don't like that Creasy tortures people for information. That was literally everybody's criticism of it.
Oh yeah, I mean this literally takes a person who was, again, not really a hero by any means, but it lost the means to live, meets someone that gives him a reason to live again, that's taken away from him, and he goes on this revenge story. But again, he's equipped, he's not just equipped to kill people, he's equipped to actively do like the most heinous things he has to get the information he needs to do his job. Like, people are just kind of sensitive.
Pussies.
Yeah. I wouldn't even just call them soft ass pussies. I would call them missing the point. And like all the stuff Chaz is saying too is 100% valid, but the revenge fantasy, the violence is why this movie exists.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't have a movie unless he goes on a rampage. If it was just a bodyguard and a little girl become friends, that's a whole different movie. That's not.
Oh, yeah.
That movie could exist. Tone would be completely different. Casting would be completely different.
Yeah. Vin Diesel would be your.
That's a different movie.
The Rock.
The only reason this movie exists is to be, oh, yeah, go get those bad guys, Denzel Washington. Oh, yeah. Look at all those guns. Oh, I fucking love this shit, bro. Like, that's why this exists.
Yeah.
Like people who are like, I don't like this. Well, you're not the target audience, clearly. There's something to be said for that too.
I did cringe when, like, that's why it's my quote on my thing here is revenge is best served cold.
Are they quoting Star Trek?
Star Trek rules.
It does. It's just weird.
The one thing that bothered my train enthusiast brain is in the beginning of the movie where he takes her to school. She says, "You got to sign me in," and then he takes her to school, and
doesn't sign her in. I know, it pissed me off too.
That bothered me too. Like, we're
train enthusiasts, so it's okay. No, it got me too. He got in the car when the wife is in the car. This movie's strange. I like it, but there are things about it that still feel like, I don't know, like a plot compromise. And again, maybe the girl living is fine, but then like ends up having like these weird loose ends or plot holes that just don't make sense. Like, it almost would make more sense if she was kidnapped and then she didn't die. Like, there was never an assumption of death and they just kept her, and his whole thing was to try to track her down and find her, like in Taken. But while doing that, he uncovered what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, maybe there's not enough implication for revenge. I mean, again, he's on the clock to try to save her, so maybe he doesn't go the full, like, you don't have the full thing of, oh, well, I'm just going to become the death dealer again because of that. So I don't know. I don't know. I think for the actual story to make more sense, it makes sense for it to be as dark as it's supposed to be, or maybe it gets to the point that he goes too far, but then because of the way she reminded him of stuff, he ends up in a situation where he realizes all he's doing is feeding a cycle, because he's like murdering people in front of children, and he's taking away someone's parent, and then he has like a change of heart at the end, and then decides he you know, okay.
The way I saw it is like, all those people deserve to be in wood chippers, and I was okay with him killing, and he should go to heaven, and God should forgive him for all those killings that
Dubs
he did.
Is the target audience for this
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. All right. I'll do it. I can fix this movie easily. See, instead of the little girl getting kidnapped, like they attempt to kidnap her and then they accidentally or purposefully kill one or both parents. And then she is out for her revenge and she talks Creasy into going with her. And then you just do a True Grit remake in modern day Mexico City. That's the movie I want to see.
So I want to see, you want to see a 9-year-old girl become Batman, but her butler happens to be the person doing all the killing right away.
Sort of.
You know what it reminds me of?
It's more like the little girl hires Batman.
Sure. Okay.
Remind me of True Grit, right?
Yeah. I mean, True Grit's fine. I'm also thinking of the lines of Kick-Ass, where maybe he just trains her like a ridiculous degree, and then they get their revenge. But she's actually fighting too, and he made her into this weapon.
Oh, The Professional.
Yeah, The Professional. Okay, fair enough.
That movie exists too.
Yeah, without the weird love story.
That's a good. I need to go watch that movie again. It is a good movie.
It has Gary Oldman in it. I love that movie.
Gary Oldman and Natalie Portman. It's a good movie.
Yep. I mean, there was, again, just the way it was shot, I was just like, and when the revenge started happening, I was like, that's when my dumb brain hit, and I was like, yeah, fucking kill those cartel people. The Hermandads, fuck them. Wood chippers. Everybody gets, even that guy from New Jersey, wood chipper.
Especially.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, because I was like, wait, why is a guy from New York? I'm New Jersey here.
Yeah, that was weird, but whatever.
Yeah. I recommend it. It's a good watch. I mean, I won't highly recommend it, but I recommend. What about you, Andy?
Yeah, I'm kind of the same. Like, I don't think it's the best Denzel Washington movie. It's an interesting movie. I've seen it twice now, and I'll probably see it again at some point. It's a pretty decent movie.
Yeah. I recommend it. I like the movie, but I see that there are flaws with it, and I would agree. It's definitely not his best work. Again, I was contested. I didn't want to just pick a bunch of really good Denzel Washington movies. I know that sounds dumb. I wanted to pick things that were still, I think, divisive enough to talk about, that's why I chose this movie over a couple of others.
I mean, you could have been really boring and chose like this, but then also The Equalizer and Inside Man and... What's that other one? Another one where he's just a gunman.
Manchurian Candidate.
Maybe. Although that's a little different. There's but another
one I'm thinking.
You could have chosen Equalizer 1, Equalizer 2.
Equalizer 2. That's right. Deja Vu. That's what I'm thinking of. Deja Vu is the one.
And then, I mean, American Gangster is another movie that's similar. But that one's there. That's more like Training Day.
We've already seen that one, too.
Oh, okay. So there we go. So it didn't even matter.
Yeah, and then Training Day or Inside Man. I don't know. I'm just naming movies now.
Inside Man's a good ass movie, though.
Yeah. And Zach, what about you?
Light recommendation. I don't know. It was okay to me. It's like, to me, it was almost like you can't really call it a popcorn flick, in my opinion, because it's got some issues, and apparently. Popcorn munchers and critics didn't really like it that much. So.
Mm-hmm. Could you call it generic? Would you call this movie generic?
I would call it a little generic. And I think it's too long for its own good. That's another thing. I think they could have cut half an hour out of this movie. And it's like, by the time the ball gets rolling for him to like start killing people, the movie's halfway over.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll defend that a little bit. I think part of that is they really want to sell the concept that this is a broken person who ends up in a situation where he finds a purpose to live again, and they really have to sell that. I think
you can do that in half an hour. You don't need to do that in an hour and a half.
Okay, you can, but so I think there are other things in the movie. I feel like the parts that are needed are there. I think there are other parts of it that could be cut. I agree. It is a little too lengthy, but I think the movie has other flaws. Like, my biggest thing with the movie is it feels like, as I'm watching it, it feels like a compromised movie. It doesn't feel like a movie it feels like I'm watching something that has been altered purposefully to attempt to appease to a larger audience. And in doing that, you just made both ends unhappy.
Mm.
But it's still despite that, it's still a pretty good movie.
What yeah. what should they learn from that? What should Hollywood learn from missing at both ends?
This epilepsy camera work stuff.
Yeah, at least.
Oh, yeah, that too. I forgot about that. Yeah, that alone is enough. I don't know how much of that was just also the time. Like that weird like 5 to 7 year period, there were a handful of movies that did that, that had that same type of look, that do that jarring shit, and I hate it.
In the late 90s and like the early 2000s, people were like experimenting with shit like that, and
I was like, this is cool and edgy. Well, it didn't age fucking well, I'll tell you that.
It didn't really bother me any. I didn't really care about it either way. It was just like, oh, they're doing that thing. Okay.
I mean, I'll admit, if I weren't like actively sick, maybe I wouldn't have cared as much. But when a movie like makes you nauseous, it's like come on.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. So, what's the next Denzel Washington movie we're watching next week?
Yeah, my favorite Denzel Washington movie, The Little Things. I've been holding this one in the chamber for a while. It's another one of those movies I want to talk about with other people. I've been waiting for years to talk about this movie because this movie frustrates me so much. I'm showing my hand a little bit, but yeah.
Jared Leto's in it. That's a sign of some kind.
Oh no! Did you just say red flag?
Now yeah. that's the weird thing about Jared Leto is he sucks in like 90% of stuff, and then you get a performance out of him like in Blade Runner 2049. And it's like, well, what the fuck's going on here? Do you know how to act or not?
Wait a minute.
Like, was he on the right combination of drugs that morning, or what?
The same thing is, I've watched so many things, and I'm like, oh god, I see him, I see his name in the billing, or I know he's in it, and I'm like, no, I don't want anything to do with this movie. But then there are occasionally movies he nails his role. I'll save it in more detail, but I will say this: I think for what he was supposed to do in his role in this movie we're going to talk about next week, I feel like he did what he was supposed to. I don't know if I like it, but he did what he was supposed to. The other movie that I always think about with him, it pisses me off that it exists, is American Psycho.
What?
He's not even that good in the movie, but...
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's like the guy Paul. That... Yeah, he's Paul.
Yeah, look at my Paul card. Allen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I was thinking that whole time, like, where the fuck is he in that?
Yeah, he's...
Yeah, he said it for like... 15 minutes, if that.
He is, but he's not in it very long, but he plays his part really well for the time that he's in the movie. He doesn't completely fuck it up. There are movies that Jared Leto's been in for 15 minutes, and he fucked up the entire movie viewing experience.
I misunderstood. I thought you were saying you hated that he was in that movie, and it fucked up the movie for you or something.
What I'm saying, that's the, like what Andy was just saying. Like,
yeah,
you think like that he's Runner, a
he's barely in it,
and when he's in it,
it's like, okay, that's right.
Yeah, so the same thing with American Psycho. Like, he did a pretty good job. Wait a second. I didn't think that guy could act.
I fucking hate Mr. Nobody. That fucking movie pissed me off. He can go to hell for that movie.
Well, what's another movie we recently watched? Requiem for a Dream.
That's for a Dream.
That movie stands out. Like, I don't know if I prefer that or him playing the Joker. Jesus, he's fucking miserable.
He's better in Morbius than the Joker. Whatever.
Have sex.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. Oh, you know what? I like him in Lord of War too. Actually.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at his stuff. Okay, I'm getting on a thing. We need to wrap.
Yeah, we'll move it. Anyway.
Here we go.
Oh god, no, we're never doing that. That drove me nuts. Yeah, so everybody watch The Little Things from, I think it's 2020 or 2019. It's one of the two.
No, I only watch big things. I'm not watching that.
Just watch it a bunch of times. It adds up to a big thing.
Yep. All right, before we get into host credit scene, here is a ad.
Wrestling nerds, wrestling weebs, wrestling fans. If you're looking for a different kind of podcast, one that goes over actual big wrestling news, I mean real stories, not somebody getting divorced or baseless rumors or whatnot, and get some color, we got that. We also do reviews of wrestling from the past, but sometimes we also do wrestling from the modern day too, if it's something that interests us at the time. Other than that, I would say the main attraction is just three guys who have been lifelong wrestling fans doing what wrestling fans do. Cutting up, cracking jokes, and just enjoying the entertainment wrestling can provide. however that comes. If you want to catch Getting Some Color, you can catch it bi-weekly on Thursdays, 10 p.m. Eastern, usually.
Yeah, usually, which means Monday.
Hello.
Welcome back to Host Credits and the things that we've been watching, playing, or doing. Nothing for me, I guess. I mean, I watched...
I did absolutely nothing.
Yeah. I had a very boring week. I did nothing.
Yeah. I mean, I had two mudslides, got wasted, and then I tried to watch WCW after drinking those mudslides, and then I had to watch it WCW again, and that was terrible. You'll hear about that on Getting Some Color.
I did hear about it on Getting Some Color.
Yeah. Fuck WCW 94. Anyway, that's all I've been doing. Andy, what the hell have you been watching, playing, or doing?
Mine's pretty simple. I played a bunch more Pokemon Diamond. I've got 7 badges, and I just failed to catch Dialga, which is a first for me, because in the past, I'm always like, oh, I'm going to catch every goddamn legendary. And I got it down. I had it paralyzed, and I had it down to a little sliver of health, and I threw all my Ultra Balls, all my Timer Balls. And then I got desperate and started throwing Great Balls, Dust Balls, and then it ran out of moves and struggled itself to death. And I was like, well, you know what? Fuck it. I don't care. I already bought one of these, I already caught one of these sons of bitches in Legends Arceus. I don't need this one. So I just moved on with my life. So that's where I am in that game. It's like, well, who cares? What do I need? 2 of them? I don't. My team already kicks ass. I don't need a stupid legendary jerk off in it. So whatever. I don't care about it. And just as an aside, today, day of recording is Pokemon Day, and they just announced the new Pokemon Legends game. Oh my god, I can't fucking wait for it. Pokemon Legends Arceus is still my favorite Pokemon game. So if they're gonna make another one, I'm on board. It's fun. I hope to beat it this week sometime. But more importantly, I played a lot more Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth. I love that game to death. It's so good. There's a mini game in it that's just a dating app. And you have to like set up your profile with like stuff you like to do. And then you match with girls and then you talk to the girls, but you have to choose what you say to them. But when you're typing, it's a mini game and you have to tap the buttons real quick. And then Kasuga says like really cringy things to them to try to get a date. And it's one of the most hilarious things I've ever done in a video game. Like I was laughing hysterically doing that, but
yeah. What's the dating simulator game that oh shit, the guy that reviews stuff, Action Button. Tokimeki Memorial. Memorial. Okay, yeah. So, I mean, I know it's not quite that, but it's like a mini game reminiscent of that.
Like that is like it's taken seriously. Like you, the player, want to go on a date. With it, you know, what does it mean to talk to these creatures? Is what you're doing there? But this is played for comedy. Like this is
so it's just like very campy.
In the tutorial mission where I succeeded, like Kasa successfully gets her to go on a date, and then when he turns up for the date, it's just like some fat guy. And it says, like, hired guy. And he's like, hi, Kasuga. And then, like, it cuts out, and that's the end of the mission.
Catfished.
And he's like, what is this? And then it moves on with the game.
That's amazing.
I can see someone doing that and being really mad. It's like, fuck this. This is, like, real life for me. I can't do this. They're, like, mad because I got catfished in the game.
But as usual... The game truly shines in the weird dichotomy of that crazy ass bullshit. And then in the main story, like there's this splinter group of the Yakuza in Hawaii, and it's led by this I can't remember his name. I've only run into him twice. But he has like some weird problem where he's cold all the time. So he's wearing like a heavy coat in Hawaii and he carries a crowbar everywhere. And he's got long black hair and he always looks sullen. And it's like, this guy's definitely a villain. And he is a villain.
Surprise.
It's like very serious and not silly at all. And then immediately after that, you run into someone in like a mascot outfit. He's like, I ordered a bunch of fortunes from Japan and I lost them, and if you find them and bring them to me, I'll give you points and prizes. It's like, okay, I guess. That game's amazing. I can't recommend the Yakuza series more to people. And Like a Dragon and Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth are so easy to get into because it's not like super fast fighty stuff. Like, if you like fighty stuff, by all means, go play Zero or Kiwami.
It's turn-based, right?
It's turn-based. So it's real easy to pick up and get into. And I don't know, it's hilarious. Like, it'll really grab you. The only problem is you got to get through a lot before the game gets going. Like, it really wants you to understand the stakes and the characters and everything. But that's okay because all the characters are charming and you like spending time with them and the game's fun. But I love it to death. I'm going to play a lot more. I'm streaming all of it, too, at twitch.tv/thecliche mustache. Please go watch. I'm still, if it's story stuff, my mic is off, but my mic will be on when I'm doing, like, extra bullshit, when I'm, like, just drinking with party members and trying to get them to like me more and doing side missions. And then I watched, because I'm an Uber dork when it comes to Formula One now, I watched Formula One testing in Bahrain last weekend. It's literally just, they're just testing their new cars and trying to make sure they go fast. But I fell asleep watching it twice, so that's how interesting it was. And then I also started Drive to Survive Season 6, which came out with like 3 days ago. I hate to say it, I'm having the least amount of fun watching it, but that's because of how intimately familiar I am with the last season. Like, they're interviewing all these people, like, well, we're hoping this year I can make a run for the championship. And I'm like, fucking no, he won't.
Nobody did.
No, you're not going to do that. And, like, people are like, oh, we think we got a fast car this year. I think it's going to work out. It's like, no. It's not for you. No, I'm sorry. And, like, last year was rough for me. I want to finally I didn't even win once last year. I want to, like, win some this year and be in the World Championship conversation. You won't know. So it's hard because there's no drama there for me. Like, I already know everything that's going to happen. So, but I'm still enjoying it. I'm still watching it. I wanted to finish it before the Bahrain Grand Prix this Saturday. It's on Saturday instead of Sunday. I have no idea why, which is annoying. But yeah, that's it. I watched some F1 stuff and I played a bunch of 2 video games, which is the way it should be.
Nice, nice. Chaz, what about you?
Yeah, up to like the last couple of days, I didn't have very much, but I've done a lot in the last few days. So I worked a ton. But anyway, I got to play Workana both in person and been playing on Pixelborn because the new set of cards is out. Into the Inklands is the third set. Some awesome stuff going on in there. I have it in front of me, but I opened 2 enchanted cards, and one of the cards is one of the it's the big chase card of the set, and it's the full version of that card. But what's really funny is they misprinted on the card a very key word, so because of that, they're going to have to make a new printing of the entire set to put out
early Magic the Gathering of them.
Yeah, I know, right? So the card has already spiked in price. At one point, there was someone that sold it on eBay for $1,000. But I think it's the Ursula.
Okay. And that's what's funny about Lorcana. It's like, oh, I got a fucking rare Gaston over here. It's like, you have a what?
Yeah, yeah. And Jafar are like the two.
I got a Donald Duck. It's worth $300.
I got Steamboat Willie Mickey here.
Yeah, I opened that, and I opened the enchanted version of the Sorcerer's Hat. So yeah, right now the on TCGPlayer.com, it is listed. Looks like the cheapest one is like $450. So it's already come down a little bit from like that crazy spike. But honestly, I think that's because the price of the boxes plummeted. I think they got like really serious about making sure there's enough product. So they printed the ever-loving fuck out of this product, which is actually really funny because, again, they fucked up like one of the most important cards in the set. That's going to see a ton of play. So they're going to have to make another set and reprint it. But because they made so much of it originally, the prices have already started to bottom out. Like, stores are like, oh, no, we're losing money because we bought it at this, but it's going to sell for $20 less per box than what we thought. And whatever.
Did they make a mistake?
Yeah, I don't think they did. It's really funny. Anytime I talk to anybody in that situation, it's always like, no, we are not going to make the massive profit we thought we would because scalpers aren't pushing crazy amounts and there's more of the product. I'm like, yeah, but you want people to get the product because now the game will actually happen and you have another reason to sell it. Like, if the other's very short-sighted, like, if you do the other and it's super expensive and nobody wants it, well, then everybody stops buying it, and then it just becomes zero, and then you lost all of your money. So, yeah. Again, can't let the card game die. But anyway, what's really exciting, though, is that there are a handful, like, I go on Wednesdays, you know, and play Pokemon. There are actually a handful of guys that are now interested in Workana, and the owner, who originally was really ticked off about it because he couldn't get in on the first set, like, the company or what that had the distribution for him like fucked it up and didn't get it to him at first. He was all salty about it, but now he's like, no, like, things have worked out. Like, if they'll let me become an official store to do stuff, we'll host events. So they're gonna maybe host Workana events soon, which is kind of cool. So which I would like, because it's not that I don't like playing Magic, which I want to talk about too, but it's too hard to focus on three card games. Like, two is already hard enough, but three is just, ugh. And Magic's just got such a high price point entry. Like, I already have the stuff for it, but, like, I just expect at any point when they do the next ban list, they're going to ban the deck that I have, and I'm just going to lose $1,000. And that just is what it is. So, like, that's the stuff I'm worried about, where these other games don't cost nearly as much to play in, and they're fun. So, that all said, it was a lot of fun to play Workana. In person, I haven't got to use any of the new cards yet, but Pixelborn, I've got to play with the new decks, and there's some cool busted stuff. I'm already grinding the ladder to get back up to Grandmaster, because they reset stuff and you drop so far down, you got to grind. I did get to play some Magic. I'm preparing for a event this weekend. There's a team event this Saturday, so I'm preparing for that. I played a little bit of FF7 Remake, getting ready for Rebirth. I think I'm on chapter 8 right now. I think it's 7 or 8. It's the one right after you, like, defeat the Techno Buster and you join Aerith. Like, that's where I'm at. But also, I went ahead and just jumped to Interrograde and played it, and I just beat it in one single playthrough without stopping or saving or anything. I just rushed right through it in, like, 4 hours. I was like, okay. So it was neat. It's interesting with some of the characters they introduced. The Fort Condor game is a blast. So I didn't, like, obviously sit there and just keep playing it to, like, some crazy degree. I was curious, in having that, do you have to specifically be playing in Interrograde to play it, or after you've beaten it, can you play it in the main game?
No, I don't think it's integrated into the main game. I wonder if it's going to be in Rebirth, though.
It would make sense. So, I don't know if it's in Rebirth or not. It's either it is or there is something else. I'll spoil that a little bit. But, I pre-ordered Rebirth today, not realizing, oh, shit, it comes out Thursday. So, wanted to get the extra stuff with it. But, and I would recommend if anyone does not own, it's a PSA for the three of you, not to anybody else because it's a month later. But if you don't have Remake and you're looking to maybe get it or get Rebirth, they are selling a twin pack right now. If you just buy the game at its retail price, you get Remake and Interrograde for free with it. So you literally can get all three games. Yeah, you can just get all they're both games plus the DLC for the first one. For the same price as just buying the game.
Digitally? But,
huh?
Is it
digital? Yeah, I think it's digital, yeah. It's digitally. Yeah, I know. But anyway. I'm excited about that. One thing I did hear about it was there is allegedly a mini game that rivals, if not is arguably better than Triple Triad. Now, I'm not the person that's going to stick up for Triple Triad. Yeah. You guys know how I feel about it. I don't like it, but there are a lot of people that do. But as far as, like, card games or strategy-based games that are mini games to play, there's apparently a highly addictive one that's really, really good in Rebirth. But they never said what it was, and they never said it's explicitly a card game. So for all I know, it's Fort Condor with more stuff. I don't know. Like, it could just be the Fort Condor game. I can see that. Fort Condor was a blast. I enjoyed it a lot. I didn't play any Pokemon, but since it was already brought up with news, So, of course, we're talking about Pokemon Day. I thought the stuff about the new game is really cool. I wanted to bring up a couple details about it, which, I mean, again, it'll be outdated by the time I bring it up, but whatever. So it's coming out in 2025. It's called Pokemon Legends ZA, or Z Alpha. They haven't clarified that yet. It is all going to happen exclusively within one city. I don't know if you saw that or not, Andy. So... yeah. Lumioi City, which is the massive city in the Kalos region, there's a massive city in the center. That's the city the entire game is going to happen in.
It's X and Y for anyone who doesn't remember.
Yeah, and they did also hint there will be Mega Evolutions, which I didn't think about it at first. So in the game, I don't know how much that'll matter. I'm sure like integration of stuff, they may have Megas and stuff in the video games. Like when people compete and stuff, but the trading card game, what that'll mean is they'll probably, just like they did with the Legends Arceus stuff, they're going to come up with their own unique thing, and they'll probably do Mega Evolutions again because EXs are around. That seems very intentional that EXs happen to be around the same time that they can go ahead and make them and do EX Megas. So that's probably a thing we'll get like 2025, late 25 to like early 26 or something. But
I'll bet you that'll come out March or April. That's my guess.
Yeah, the other game came out like January of 22.
The other one came out the first week in March. I remember it was the week of my birthday.
What, the Arceus?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought Arceus came out before because I remember beating it. I beat it watching the Super Bowl. It was the Super Bowl that the Rams and the Bengals were playing. It's Joe Burrow was playing.
No, it's the beginning. It was first. It was Q1.
Yeah, it was Q1 because I beat it, and then Elden Ring came out like the next week, so it was like that early February period. But yeah, but that said, I expect that Q1 the same of 25, and then in turn, like Q4 25 or Q1 of 26 is when they'll probably integrate it into the card game because that usually takes about a year for them to catch up with the games, the video games. So, anyway, played a little bit of Overwatch 2, not much. Missed you guys. I was hoping we'd get to play again, but sadly we could not get a connection. That's okay. I watched some random stuff as I've been sick the last couple days with my gut bug, because sometimes you just feel so bad you don't want to do anything but just lay there and watch stuff. I churned back through all four seasons of Castlevania. It's a good watch. I love that series. The ending is strange, but I don't mind some of the liberties they take with it for the most part. There are a few things that are just a little strange, but I like some of the stuff they go on with. I really like how they deal with the Forge Masters. That's because I was a big fan of the games they were in. I watched another show, which I'm really... like surprised it didn't get another showing, but maybe it was supposed to be one season and that was it. It's called Blood of Zeus. It was made by the team that made the Castlevania show. It's on Netflix. It's it's just a Greek story. It's a Greek mythology story about the Greek gods. It was pretty good. I enjoyed it. If you like Greek mythology and like violent animated series, then you should watch it. It definitely had kind of like a Castlevania vibe to it. There were demons. So, I watched the rest of Loki season 2, which it was kind of short. I didn't expect it to only be the few episodes it was, but it was pretty good. Still a lot of fuckery going on in the MCU. I don't get how they turn around a lot of that. Although I will say this in terms of their problem with the actor that they have for Kang the Conqueror, if that doesn't work out, at least it's a character that you can just make look like anyone because of the tomfoolery of that character. So I suppose they have that in their back pocket. It was kind of cool to have like the ending, like there's a conclusive like plot ending that is not just some type of death or internal damnation for Loki, which was kind of cool. But I don't recommend it. I would recommend people watching it. It's a bit of a trip. And the last thing I watched was I watched there's a new animated Mortal Kombat movie that came out recently called Mortal Kombat Cage Match, which is really, really bad, but really good at the same time. I'd recommend it for anybody that enjoys those movies they've put out. It's an entire story, like completely sidetracked from like the main plot line that focuses on Johnny Cage's early acting career in like the late 80s. And it is so goofy and dumb. There's like the animation they use is kind of cool. They use like all that really like retro like 80s vaporwave kind of scenery. Also, Gilbert Gottfried's last movie.
Weird.
Randomly, yeah, he's in the movie as someone, and he doesn't play like a huge part, but he's in the movie for a bit. It's the last role he had in a movie or any type of film or anything. I was looking it up. I guess there's a couple of projects that he did some upcoming stuff for. I think they're like games or something, but that's it. But anyway, that's all I've got though. I tried to start watching Monster, the anime. It was in Japanese, and I watched like the first like 5 minutes of it, and then I got distracted on something, and then I moved on. I'll probably come back to it though.
Never heard of it.
It's supposed to be really good. It's supposed to be really screwed up psychological thriller anime. But I'd like to watch in English, but you know, I mean, I don't have no problems watching things in Japanese, but it's a 74 episode anime, and I'm too squirrel brain to just strictly have to focus and read. So I don't know. I'd prefer the convenience of the other, but we'll see.
All right, Zach, you're up. Last time you got cut off by the gods.
Spotty internet. Yeah, so I got a little bit of spillover left from last week.
Fair enough.
Watched a couple more Cronenberg movies. David Cronenberg, that is, not Brandon. Watched Rabid, and it was interesting. It's kind of like you can see that was his next movie after Shivers. You can kind of see like the everything's kind of starting to coalesce for him, like as a filmmaker. I think it's coming together more when you see Rabid. Like Shivers has got like weird pacing and stuff, and I don't know, it's blocked and everything kind of strangely compared to like Rabid, which seems more like a more cohesive, low budget, independent Canadian film than what Shivers was. So I recommend it. It's fairly interesting. I liked it better than Shivers. And I didn't hate Shivers either. It's just like I will recognize it's kind of like it's a really odd movie, and I don't know how easily you could recommend it to somebody. And then I watched The Brood.
Hell yeah!
And that was good.
I like that movie.
That it finally all came together for him with that one.
That's pretty much like where his great stuff starts. Like from there up until like the 90s, it's like all good, 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 good.
Yeah. I enjoyed The Brood quite a bit. I did not really expect the twist in it or any of that stuff. I knew nothing about it. Like I just knew the description that Max gives when you read it, and it does not imply anything about like what happens.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a good description. I don't have much else to say about that one other than it was really good. Check it out if you like real odd, offbeat kind of psychological horror movies a little bit, I'll call it. What else have I watched? I watched a show, Legends of Wrestling. It's a show WWE used to produce when they had like the 24/7 network. This is like they had their own channel, but when you used to have to buy like premium channels for like your cable package and stuff, they had their own channel.
Huh. It's like Adult Swim for wrestling.
It pretty much was just a 24/7 wrestling channel. They would just show old content and like any kind of like new shows they would produce like this. And it's got like a panel of like, you know, veterans that used to be in the business or still are, but they don't wrestle anymore. Just talking about like various topics in wrestling. Like each episode is about a topic in wrestling. Like they talk about Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair, and it's like Dusty Rhodes, Jim Ross, and some other people talk about them. And then Mick Foley and Eric Bischoff and Jerry Lawler talk about heat seekers in wrestling. And what that means is like people that would just seem to attract the most trouble backstage in wrestling. It's pretty cool. I got up into like the third season where it's like they revived the show. I think it went on hiatus for a couple years. They brought it back when they started the WWE Network, and it seems a little bit more, I don't know, like it's kind of stroking the WWE more than what like the older shows did. And I don't know if I like it as much. I got to keep watching it to see if I do or not. But I liked the first two seasons better, just tonally, because it seemed more like legitimate. I've also been watching a ton of old Madison Square Garden shows from like the WWF days in the 70s, and that's been interesting. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's awful.
Yeah, those midgets.
I know everybody's like Dubs especially, like there's a joke where it's like this man loves midgets. Well, his dad loved midgets too, because god damn it, he had him on there for half an hour in a tag match, a 2 out of 3 falls tag match with midgets for half an hour.
God, that sounds so terrible.
And I did not watch it. I was like, I'm not watching this. I skipped it. And that's something he does multiple times in those shows. Like there's another show where it happened again and they wrestled for like 24 minutes. I was like, I'm not watching that. No. They're pretty cool though. You see like some people you might have heard of or recognized from back then, like Bruiser Brody had a match with Kevin Sullivan and he killed him in like 25 seconds or something. And who else did I see? The one match I really wanted to see was a Superstar Billy Graham versus Bruno Sammartino.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know what happened. I think it was technical difficulties during the original broadcast. A third of the match was lost. Like they lost the feed or something.
Like the first third or the last third or
the first third of it.
Huh?
And I was like, fuck. Cause I really wanted to see, cause I'm kind of into Superstar Billy Graham and I'm starting to understand like why Bruno Sammartino was such a big deal. Like for like a modern wrestling fan, like somebody who's really hardcore into like the modern style, I'd call it. It'd probably be very hard to like see why he was so good. So you have to like appreciate him from like a historical standpoint.
That wrestling was very different then. I mean,
it was very different. People used to complain about like there's a lot of punching and kicking in WWE main events with like the main event guys like during certain spans of time, and no, they don't know what they're talking about because they've never seen one of these shows. Mm-hmm. That is objectively not true. But I am kind of having fun watching them, but I've kind of cooled off for right now. I'm trying to get up to the point where trying to really get up to like 1980, because that's when like the business model starts to change more, and when Vince Jr. gets in and starts making more changes. And then I watched Elimination Chamber and it was good. It was a good show. I don't really want to say much else about it other than that. It was good. There wasn't a bad match.
It's true. I would agree.
And I played Fire Emblem Sacred Stones. I beat that. That was the second Game Boy Advance game, or really the third one. It was the second one that we got. It's good though. I was like, it was funny because I was really sweating, like doing the last stage or something. I thought the boss was going to be like really powerful and I'd get like fucked and everything. So I kept trying to like grind out this dungeon and get my guys leveled up. And eventually I just gave up because like what happens in that game is you can't, when you get in these dungeons, you can't save. So you have to like finish the dungeon or you don't finish it at all.
Woof.
And like,
that's pretty rough.
If you're like 4 or 5 maps in and somebody dies in your party and you don't want them to die, you have to just shut the thing off and start over from the first map.
Ouch.
And I did that a couple times. I was like, nope, I can't do this again. I'm tired of like dwelling on this. I'm just going to go finish the game now.
Let him rot.
Let him rot. And no, I did pretty good. I think one guy died in the last map, but I didn't care because I was at the end of the game. So I beat the game. Yep, all right. Sometimes those old Fire Emblems are rough. Like,
they're not being vain.
They are difficult games.
And did if they you have can't the option to play on easy where your dudes don't permadie back then?
No, there was no option like that.
Yeah, permadeath was literally just the standard, right? That was just, yeah.
They had permadeath all the way up to the first 3DS game, Awakening.
Because I remember what's the one on GameCube? That's the one that, like, the first Fire Emblem game I ever played was the one on GameCube. Path of Radiance, yeah. And it's funny because I'm sure a lot of other people were in this boat too. I knew the characters already kind of from playing Smash. I was like, oh, Marth and Roy, and then you play Path of Radiance. And I'm like, wait a second, these Ike? Games aren't similar. Yeah, Ike, who's this guy?
EK!
They put him in a Smash Brothers later, the one after that.
Oh, I loved Ike in Smash Brothers Brawl.
He's a solid character. But yeah, it was good. It's just, you know, I'm sure there's generations of Fire Emblem fans. They're divided into two generations. People that can take those old games and people that can't. Because there's more modern gamers, I feel like, are more difficulty averse. Like, I know there's some games that are really popular that kind of buck that trend. Like, you know, whatever From Software makes, that's a Souls thing, or like, and there's other games that are real hard, but it still seems like there's a lot of bullet hells. It still seems like there's a lot of people that are real difficulty averse and they cry about when shit gets hard.
Don't play those games.
Well, I mean, I think it's nice to, if they're going to yield to a wider audience and have the option, so that way someone can enjoy the game versus being able to simply play and get the story out of it. So I don't mind it so much. Okay, if the game's entire like reason to play it is for like the combat, like Cuphead, for example, is a great game I think about. Nobody's playing Cuphead for the story. Like Cuphead is meant to be like, oh, I want to play something incredibly difficult, like frustratingly difficult. Like I'm gonna break my controller. It's hard. So that's the point of that game. Dark Souls is kind of the same way, but then like the next layer is like the rewarding stuff, and then the lore is just awesome. It just kind of is like the secondary thing. Whereas with like Fire Emblem, like what is it? The Three Houses was the Switch game. That game was incredibly in depth and had so much like crazy plot line. Like, again, you had to beat it three times, I think, right, in order to get the full story.
So you really have to play. You can play through it four times or something.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that's right. Because there's like a ultimate playthrough
ending. Like So like, in order to get that, like, I could see how someone may not want to have to deal with the frustration because they want to just get the story. It's kind of like with playing through Final Fantasy, a remake. I kind of find the game, like, I'm just pushing through, and I've already played the story once. Like, I've played through the game originally, and I'm pushing through to get to the story again. But then I found out recently there's nothing. I was thinking, like, there would be something where you could carry your save file over. There's none of that with Rebirth. Yeah,
they don't do that anymore. I miss that stuff. I thought they were going to do that in Yakuza or Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth. Mm-hmm. They do nothing. They don't even, like, give you a shirt or anything. They're just like, you played the other game, good job. Who cares?
Yeah, so now I'm kind of, I don't want to play through it. But for instance, that game, the rewarding part of that game is actually to beat it and then play it on hard mode, because that's when you actually, like, the game almost feels disjointed in how combat works, to the point that it's almost like kind of tedious. It's not really that fun. But then when you do it on hard mode, the combat makes sense. But that's a game where, like, if someone's solely playing it to get the story and doesn't care about that, they'll just trudge through it, and it's like, okay, well, that was a minor inconvenience, but okay. But if you actually enjoy, like, the strategy involved, you have to play it on the harder difficulty, in my opinion.
I kept thinking about replaying it. I was thinking about what Tim Rogers said about the trinket ultimatum, to play it on hard with items turned off, and that's the ultimate way to play it. Now, if I ever played it again, I was going to do that, but I'm never going to get around to it.
Yeah.
I wasn't necessarily poo-pooing on more modern gamers with the Fire Emblem thing. I'm just saying.
It's just different things. Like, it's nice.
It's fine.
Like, you beat an incredibly hard game, and now you feel really good about it. Like, that's... you know, it's like it's like beating New Super Mario Brothers. You jog around the block. It's like, oh, I got some exercise. I feel really good. Beating Dark Souls or Fire Emblem is like completing a marathon. It's like I did something great.
Yeah, it's like it's completing a marathon, but while you're running, there are things trying to kill you.
They're both worth it.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's just the beauty of video gaming, right? Like, people play the game for different reasons, so yeah, I think it's great that they have that option. Someone's not limited to the fact that maybe that's not their experience. Like, I think it's great that there are options available, and people can do which one they like. I think that's a good thing. That said, it shouldn't take away from the older games.
So you think they should add an easy mode to Dark Souls because people should have options? Is that what you're saying?
No, never. There's people that say that. I'm just like, no, you know what? If they want to, go ahead. Like, do it. But like, because that's what my thing is like, have an option. Don't take something away completely and then just change it all. Because I was going to say to Fire Emblem's credit or Nintendo's credit, whoever you want to give it to, the series grew in popularity with Awakening and the changes they made. Yeah. So.
That's why I started to take notice is that game.
Yeah. Well, and funny enough, you already said the thing about easy mode with Dark Souls, but they already did that. It's called Elden Ring.
Oh. I get, you know, people, it seems like more people did play Elden Ring, I guess, than the others.
Yeah.
It was a big deal. Well, I mean, yeah, it was kind of like the biggest deal of the year it came out. I mean, shit, we got a reason to play it again. DLC is coming out soon.
Yeah. Woo-hoo! Yeah, that's true. I also played FF7 Remake again, and I was going to do, like, hard mode, and then, like, something... I got real confused about how you do it, because it's, like, the exact opposite of, like, how every other game does it. Instead, it's like, I thought you would start a new game from the beginning and pick the hard difficulty or something, and it does, like, a new game plus kind of thing, and it doesn't do that. You have to load your old file, go to chapter select, and then select the hard difficulty when you select the chapter you want to play. That just seems so ass backwards to me.
That's weird.
Yeah.
That is
at least it's included in the damn game, Sega.
Yeah. but it is there. It's just very ass backwards Japanese the way they do it, I guess, is the point.
And that does seem really weird. I had like physically try to do it yet, so I didn't realize that that's how you have to do it. I kind of assumed it would be, oh, you finished it, when you go to start a new game you just choose a difficulty, like, because in all fairness it asks you whenever you start a new game which difficulty you want to play on.
It was so much to the point that and I'm just so used to that in other games that I thought when I beat the game originally, I was like, maybe I didn't do something right and I didn't unlock it, so I just kept playing. Just thinking, like, oh well, maybe I just didn't do something right and I didn't get it.
That's weird, though, because so I just, when I was trying to do the Interrogate stuff, I couldn't figure out how the DLC worked. So when I went to make a new game, it asked me what difficulty I wanted to start a new game on. Turns out I fucked up. I just need to go back and hit R2 to go to the DLC and do a separate thing. But it asked, so I don't know. That's weird. It didn't give you that option to like just make a new game.
No, that's the way Square wants you to do it, I guess.
That's strange.
But I played two chapters, and then after I realized, like, oh, I did it the wrong way, I got, like, kind of irritated, and I didn't want to play through the original game anymore.
That's fair. That's totally fair.
No, yeah.
I was gonna play the whole thing through hard mode again. Like, or not again. It would be my first time. I was like, I'm not doing that now. So I played the intermission, the DLC, instead. And I did everything in it. I did pretty much everything. And I beat it in like almost 9 hours.
Nice.
I did all the Fort Condor crap. I kind of was hoping you would play more people in Fort Condor than like where you do in Sector 7, and you never do.
So I was going to ask, what rank is like the highest rank you can get to?
4.
Okay, because I got to 3, four. I think, or no, I got to 4 because Wedge is the last person you face, right?
Yeah, well, he's the last person you face in third rank.
In third rank. Okay, I didn't face anyone past that. I beat Wedge, and then I moved on.
Nope, you didn't face Chadley. He was the master.
Motherfucker. Got to go back. Of course, Chadley's the master.
But I liked it. I enjoyed it quite a bit. It made me care about Yuffie. The character I cared about least, just above Kate Sith in the original.
Agreed.
She's like more likable, has more of a personality, in my opinion. Like, I don't think that she was just had enough input in the original game. Like, I really don't remember much of anything that
she's one of the two characters you never even have to interact with to play to beat the game. I think it's part of it.
And the way you get her is like really obtuse. Like, honestly, you kind of have to be told what to do.
That or just completely accidentally run into it and then like fuck it up over and over. And then, like, I remember as a kid, I remember running into her, knowing she's a character I could play with because I had the book, but I couldn't figure out how to unlock her, and I just had to fucking look it up.
I just had an issue of tips and tricks that just told you how to do it, and I just did it.
Yeah, and I just had the little link that like told you like the sequence of how to answer the questions, because like it's a weird way you have to answer them to get her to come with you. But yeah, no, I also agree. I really liked it. I didn't really cover much of it. I enjoyed it. I liked the side character who is only a part of her story. I'll keep it at that. But
and they give you bonus cutscenes when you finish showing the gang leaving Midgar, like after they, you know, after you finish the first game. Mm-hmm. Like, so you get some extra cutscenes of them. Yeah.
Well, and it's good to do that because the next game starts with them in Calm, and Cloud is telling them the story of Sephiroth. That's like where the demo picks up, because the demo, I guess, is the start of the game. You do the prequel. You start with when he met Sephiroth, and they go back to Nibelheim the first time.
That's what we all assumed. I mean, that's the way it was in the original game. So,
yeah,
I'm excited to do that. I can wear her cowboy hat.
Yeah, I can't wait to see everybody in bathing suits. Woo woo! As like the internet like is like melted down over that. If you see all this backlash, people are super mad that Tifa's outfit's too skimpy. There are a bunch of people that are super mad that it's
skimpy. We do not travel in the same internet circles, my friend.
Yeah, we don't.
Same people are getting bashed. It was like, you leave me alone. That's my waifu. I need her in this.
Dubs, were you going to say something?
No, I got fucking take a shit. So I'm being quiet.
Oh, well, I'm almost done anyway. So the last thing I did was a Unicorn Overlord demo. I played that today and yesterday. I've still got some time left. It's a timed demo.
5 hours, right?
Yeah, which is pretty generous considering like how much stuff there is to do in that game. But I am enjoying it. Like, at first, when I first started playing it, I realized, this game has auto battle, and there's no option to change it. It's an auto battle SRPG. Really? Yeah. Weird. And generally, I kind of hate auto battle. Like, that was a big reason why I didn't get into Persona 3 originally. Like, you just control one character, and, like, everybody else just does whatever. I hate that shit, usually. But then I kind of, like, got over it as I kept playing it, because I realized, like, where they kind of shift, like, where your input is on the strategy is in, like, how you're putting together your groups. Like, who's in your groups that you fight with, and, like, what position they have, like, in said group. That matters, too, like, if they're in the front line or the back line.
I guess, as in all game design, like, if they design the game around it, anything can work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it also kind of helps that, like, you know, there's also, like, I kind of realized this after a while. I was like, you know, Fire Emblem is an auto battle game technically, and like all the characters just have one attack, and it's just like a rock, paper, scissors game.
Front Mission's kind of like that too, and you like those.
Front, it's kind of like, yeah, like Front, there's still other stuff you can do in Front Mission a little bit, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, as long as you're given a lot of flexibility in how you can prep before you go into it, I think it could work. I can see a problem if it's just, like, very linear in how you set it up and then you just can't do anything about it. It's like, oh, that kind of sucks.
No, so, like, this is where it kind of, like, convinced me. So, like I was already saying, like, when you put your groups together and stuff, even up to a point, like, you edit, like, their attacks and, like, whatever conditions need to be met for them to use certain abilities. When you do battles, it's like on a map, and it's kind of like, it kind of morphs more into like a strategy game instead, where you can have multiple groups in the battle, and the enemy also has a bunch of groups running around. You have to like control where everybody's going and who they're engaging with and what they're doing. So it kind of almost turns into like an RTS game a little bit. It's pretty interesting though. I mean, the art's great because it's a vanillaware game. But I think I want the game. The problem is like I'm broke.
Yeah. It's an Atlas game, right?
Atlas Sega's publishing it, but
yeah, publisher. Gotcha.
It. I mean, it's not going anywhere. You can get it later.
Yeah. I got something about it. And I was like, oh, I wonder if I want to try this. I'm glad you brought it up now. I might give it a shot.
I will say also, for anybody that's like, oh, like I know some of you guys are like, oh, I love playing shit on the Switch. The demo is also on Switch. The game's for Switch, and apparently it runs great. It has no performance issues on Switch. And given the kind of game it is and how it plays, it might be, you know, pretty suited for playing handheld on Switch.
I'm going to wrap up Pokemon soon, so I'll give that.
Yeah, called myself a good TRPG.
And that is everything.
Nice. Sorry, like I'm not talkative, guys, because if I would have fucking talked... I'm turtling right now.
Yeah, he's about to go drop the unicorn overlord.
Yes. Why didn't you just leave and come back?
I could have done that, but then I don't know if you guys would finish and just awkward. Well, then again, you guys have admin. Never mind. Jesus Christ, I'm dumb.
Yeah, I mean, PP Dubs can cut whatever he wants.
Yeah,
PP Dubs can help Poo Poo Dubs. You can, yeah.
You can cut this part out unless you want to leave it in for last.
I'm going to leave it in for fucking jokes. Yeah, PP Dubs is going to take us out, and PP Dubs is also going to poop. So, bye, guys. Later.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Hey, do you want to be in the show? Make sure you email them bigtroublenet@gmail.com. They are also on Twitter @BigTroubleNet. You can listen to all their shows on all podcast services. So until next time, catch ya in the next pit stop.